There was a honking far above, and a ragged V of geese sped over the clearing. They were heading for warmer weather in places Granny Weatherwax had only heard about. It was tempting. The selection committee sat around the table in the office of Mr. Seldom Bucket, the opera house's new owner. He'd been joined by Sal Zeller, the musical director, and Dr. Undershaft, the chorus master. "And so," said Mr. Bucket, "we come to, now let's see, Christine. Marvellous stage presence, good figure too." He winked at Dr. Undershaft.
"Yes, very pretty," said Dr. Undershaft flatly. "Can't sing, though."
"What you artistic types don't realise is this is the century of the fruit bat," said Bucket. "Opera is a production, not just a lot of songs."
"So you say, but the idea that a soprano should be 15 acres of bosom in a horned helmet belongs to the past, like."
Sal Zeller and Undershaft exchanged glances. So he was going to be that kind of owner.
"Unfortunately," said Sal Zeller sourly, "the idea that a soprano should have a reasonable singing voice does not belong to the past. She has a good figure, yes. She certainly has a sparkle. But she can't sing."
"You can train her, can't you?" said Bucket. "A few years in the chorus."
"Yes, maybe after a few years, if I persevere, she will be merely very bad," said Undershaft.
Gentlemen, said Mr. Bucket. "Ahem. All right, cards on the table, eh? I'm a simple man, me. No beating about the bush. Speak as you find. Call a spade a spade."
"Do give us your forthright views," said Sal Zeller.
"Definitely that kind of owner," he thought. "Self-made man, proud of his handiwork, confuses bluffness and honesty with merely being rude. I wouldn't mind betting a dollar that he thinks he can tell a man's character by testing the firmness of his handshake and looking deeply into his eyes."
"I've been through the mill, I have," Bucket began, "and I made myself what I am today."
"Self-raising flower," thought Sal Zeller.
"But I have to declare a bit of a financial interest. Her dad did, lend me a fair whack of money to help me buy this place, and he made a heartfelt fatherly request in regard to his daughter. If I bring it to mind correctly, his exact words were, 'Don't make me have to break your legs.' I don't expect you artistes to understand. It's a business thing. The gods help those who help themselves. That's my motto."
Sal Zeller stuck his hands in his waistcoat pockets, leaned back, and started to whistle softly.
"I see," said Undershaft. "Well, it's not the first time it's happened. Normally, it's a ballerina, of course."
"Oh, it's nothing like that," said Bucket hurriedly. "It's just that, with the money, comes this girl, Christine. And you have to admit, she does look good."
"Oh, very well," said Sal Zeller. "It's your opera house, I'm sure. And now, Perdita?"
They smiled at one another.
"Perdita,"
said Bucket, relieved to get the Christine business over so that he could go back to being bluff and honest again.
"Perdita X,"
Sal Zeller corrected him.
"What will these girls think of next?" "I think she will prove an asset," said Undershaft.
"Yes, if we ever do that opera with the elephants."
"But the range. What a range she's got."
"Quite. I saw you staring."
"I meant her voice, Sal Zeller. She will add body to the chorus."
"She is a chorus. We could sack everyone else. Ye gods, she can even sing in harmony with herself. But can you see her in a major role?"
"Good grief, no. We'd be a laughingstock."
"Quite so. She seems quite amenable, though."
"Wonderful personality, I thought. And good hair, of course."
She'd never expected it to be this easy.
Agnes listened in a kind of trance while people talked at her about wages, very little, and the need for training, a lot, and accommodation. Members of the chorus lived in the opera house itself, up near the roof. And then, more or less, she was forgotten about.